Hey, welcome back to the Dadpreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Alex, and in today's episode, we're going to talk about the future of education. You know, as a dad and an entrepreneur, I know that it's essential for me to stay informed about the changing landscape of education and learning environments, and also the opportunities that are out there to ensure that we can provide our children with the best educational experience possible. And for my wife and I, it's specifically important because, as I've mentioned here in the podcast, shared with you all, we have homeschooled our kids for the last 6 years. And one thing that we often talk about is we want to make sure, as all parents do, that you're giving your child the best possible education, right? The best education possible, because education just doesn't come in one form, right? It's not just the academics and what they learn in the books or through lectures. It's everything from soft skills to critical skills to hands-on learning. And every school is different. I've worked with many schools. I've worked with K through 12. I've worked with charter schools. I have mentored kids in different programs, from nonprofits to for-profits. And then I've also worked in higher education with different colleges, and it is all different. There are no two schools alike. And I think it's so complex when you put into play the administration of a school that is often getting a curriculum that comes from somewhere afar. And then you have the educators, you have the assistants to the educators, you have the students, of course, who are all different. There are no two students alike, right? We can remember when we were kids. And then on top of that, you have the parents who are there to hold your feet to the fire. And by say you, I mean the educator. Now, we've had educators here on the podcast before, experts, PhDs, researchers. And I love talking to different people that are teaching in different capacities, but different formats as well. Because for us, when we decided to do homeschool, we had to do quite a bit of research. And we quickly decided that we couldn't find a curriculum or a model that really resembled what we were looking for, right? And it's truly a complex spectrum. Homeschool, for example, or virtual school, which is somewhat different. And then you take all the 50 states in the United States, are all different. So you have so many different models. You have hybrid models with these ad hoc student groups and homeschool groups. So again, it's all different. I keep up with the latest trends. I keep up with innovations that are shaping the future of education. And really, I do this because it's important for us to be able to give our kids the best education possible. But I also work, as I said, with organizations who are catering to kids and parents and educators. Recently, I went to the Emerge Americas Conference in Miami. And one of the startup pavilions, as they call them, this pavilion finale, there were so many education technologies and startups, different apps, solutions that can be used by parents, by the students, and by educators. And as you could expect, a lot of those technologies are truly built on top of data. So, you know, meaning the whole idea with a lot of these applications is that the student or the educator can spend quite a bit of time working through or on top of the app, and then the app extracts the data from anything from like activities to, are they doing quizzes? Are they reading this? And then take that data, extract it, and then you're able to present that information, right? The analytics to both the parents and the administration, right? So it's really, truly remarkable, some of the technologies that are coming out. And whether you're doing, again, homeschool or traditional school, private or public, some of these tools are actually not that expensive to subscribe to, right? It's like subscription-based. You have them from anywhere from $5 a month to $20 a month. And I'm not going to mention any of those that I have here. I've gotten in touch with at least four, and I want to test them out for myself first. And then I would, of course, tell you all about them on the podcast here. Just like I, you know, we test Khan Academy and other apps all the time. And I don't want to be in the business, as my wife and I talked about it the other day. I think that the challenging thing to talk about education and your children is that you never want to come off like you're sounding like what you're doing is better than someone else. So let's, you know, dissect that for a minute. 50 states, you know, 50 states, 50 different departments of education, somewhat following some guidelines from the federal government's Department of Education. But then at the state level, everything looks very different. Then you go to the municipalities, like the counties. One county can look very different from another county. Orange County in California is going to look different from Orange County in Central Florida, or a county in Texas or New York, right? So it is vastly different the way things work. And then when you get down to the local level, what kind of technologies are they using? So as a parent, I find it extremely difficult to sometimes share the experiences that we have in homeschooling. And even when our kids were going to a traditional school, I find it challenging to share our experiences, right? Like, are your kids having a tough time with homework? Are they keeping up with the curriculum? Are they taking some, you know, advanced classes? Where are they excelling? Where are they having challenges? These are truly private conversations that I found over time that parents have at home with their kids and with the educators. So there's no two alike. And I think that that's the challenge, is coming on the podcast. People ask me to talk more about your experience and your journey with your kids. Bring on your kids, your wife, who's doing all the homeschool at this point. I stopped doing it about a year and a half ago to focus more on my businesses. And look, you know, I'm involved there every day because I work from home. But yeah, it's all of it is my wife. And then, of course, in our case, we use what's called Florida Flex, FLVS. So it is virtual learning, but they have teachers that they speak to as well. So my wife would be the primary teacher, and then they have different teachers for different subjects that they meet with on a weekly basis to do different assessments, quizzes, what they call a DBA, which is basically debriefing to make sure that they're on the right path, right? We wanted to make sure that we had that checks and balances, because as parents, I know we could be biased. And what I want is my kids to have the best education possible. And I got to say, for Florida anyways, I can't speak for the rest of the country, but for Florida, they've done an amazing job with the curriculum and the platform and the way that the teachers, I mean, now most of the teachers that we work with were traditional, you know, on-premise in-school type of teachers that moved over to the world of online. And another question that I often get is like, hey, look, I have one child or two. Would you do it if you had just one or two? I don't know, to be honest. I definitely don't think we would do homeschool if we just had one at home. I think that would be very challenging for the socialization part of it. Now, being that we have four kids, it makes it easier to have the four kids entertain one another, right? So it's more complex for my wife, who's doing the teaching. I come in and I speak from time to time, and I sit with them very, very rarely these days, just very busy with work. But I think when you have a bigger group, so even like some of these homeschool groups, then it's easier than if you just have a child who's alone. And maybe if you're the parent that can't be there to teach, maybe you have to work, then they're doing just virtual. My wife and I would talk about it. I don't think we would do that, you know, because at this point we're able to integrate a lot of different things into their homeschool. So for us, it's super important to have travel. So we do quite a bit of traveling, sometimes locally, these days more locally during COVID, during those 3 years. We did a lot of traveling on the road with this, our little RV trailer that we would haul, and you know, they would learn about all these different parks and just get connected to nature, you know. But we do a lot of activities too. Recently for Earth Day, you know, we went in the backyard, dug some holes, the kids worked real hard, and then we planted some trees. You know, we're able to do that in the morning or the middle of the day, or go out and play basketball, go out and go for a hike, do field trips to, you know, the museum, or go down to the beach. And so there's a lot of different things that we can do. And for my two oldest kids, which one is in middle school going into high school and the other one going into middle school next year, you know, they're at the age where they can help us do different things with the business. And when I say help, it's really to teach them different things, different aspects of entrepreneurship, right? Everything from, you know, just the etiquettes for communicating, sending via email, sending messages via a LinkedIn. They'll come in here and listen to me do calls with my staff. They'll listen to me do calls with my clients. And that is like very, very valuable. And that's not the type of thing that I could do if they were going to traditional school. Now, I could name 1,000 other advantages of traditional school, right? So I think that's kind of what you as a parent, if you are listening to this podcast and you're thinking, well, I'm considering homeschooling my kids, I think that you have to do a list of pros and cons of what you like about traditional school. And talk to a lot of parents who are homeschooling. And there's a lot of podcasts that talk about homeschooling. But I try to bring hopefully a perspective that isn't like what we're doing is better. What we're doing, we find, is better for our kids. What you're going to do for your kids is going to be slightly different, right? But listen, the rise of online education platforms has definitely improved and innovated and advanced the way in which your kids can do that. I also saw some VR goggles and different programs that are being built so that the experiences are immersive with the online learning. But what you're going to find is probably the biggest advantage of homeschooling is the flexibility and accessibility, and then the personalized learning. Those three things: flexibility, accessibility, and personalized learning experience. It's something that I think if most parents could do, you would do. It just, unfortunately, we all have to work. So if my wife worked, we wouldn't be able to do this, right? She does work with me in the business, but it's just as a more of a strategist. And she does do some work for some clients, but it still gives her enough time to put in those 5-6 hours a day to work with all our four kids. So having the support system is important. I don't think that if both parents are working full-time, it's possible for you to do homeschool. You know, I think that personalized learning is really important so that you can cater to each one of your kids and their needs and their learning styles. All four of our kids have different learning styles, right? So, you know, whether it's hands-on learning, doing different puzzles at an early age, to drawing, to doing art, music. I mean, there are things that are going to really move your child. And there are things that are, if it's challenging and boring, not going to move them. And so you have to figure out what are those buttons that you push, and then you see them, like, you know, sort of rise. And that's what we try to do, right? But again, I mean, there's a lot of other technologies that exist, everything from artificial intelligence. So if you look at Khan Academy with Khanmigo, obviously ChatGPT, there's a lot of different tools and resources that exist now that didn't exist even 4 or 5 years or 6 years ago when we started. And then the thing that I think that we give our kids the most is that desire to be a lifelong learner. And I really mean that is something that I don't think I would be able to give our kids if they were in school every day. Because here with us, we can go out to the library and check out 20, 30, 40 books and have discussions about those books, right? And have discussions about what's going on in the world in real time throughout the day, right? And so you're constantly fostering that culture of lifelong learning, which I think is important. I didn't have that really growing up either, because my parents were too busy working. There was no way that they could homeschool me. And if I was homeschooled on my own, let's say just virtually learning, I probably would have not learned a lot. So definitely school, you know, public school for me was the best way to really grow. Now, I think you have to lead by example. You know, technology is definitely can be an advantage or disadvantage. It can be a disruptor. If they're constantly on the computer or a tablet or a phone, you're taking away their ability to communicate with one another. They're taking away their ability to do things that are hands-on, you know, so truly like skill development. And I will tell you, there's no shortcuts for teaching them hands-on actual lectures. So my wife and I do quite a few lectures throughout the week, and we try to have different people get exposed. Like we have a neighbor who is 76 years old, and he is a veteran, you know, and we always try to have him talk to the kids and have different people interact with the kids so that they can have different different flavors of different personalities, people that bring different experiences, right? A lived experience is so unique, and we can only do so much in-house. So whether it's their basketball coach or karate sensei, all the different activities that they are doing outside of the house so that they can socialize, it is possible for you to give your kids a well-rounded homeschool learning experience. It really is, you know. But like I said, there is a stigma within, let's say, the society that homeschooling isn't as, I would say homeschooling isn't as strong or good for their future. And like I said, the future of education has already changed. You know, COVID changed the future of education. So what we were doing, we were at a point where we were already homeschooling for 2 years. And so we had already adapted to those changes in the learning environments and the opportunities that it presents us with. So again, if you're a parent and maybe like years ago before COVID, you would have said no way to homeschooling, you know, check it out, learn about it. It's definitely changing, no different than the workplace. The workplace has changed. I know all my employees, everyone works remotely from home, you know. And that is also changing, whether it's hybrid or just fully remote. And so it's everyday businesses in people's career and every, you know, people in school as well. So that's what I wanted to discuss with you guys today, was just a glimpse into what the future of education is and how parents and educators can adapt to the needs of our future generations. And I think that we are in that way, I'm optimistic that we have evolved, and the tools and the systems that have been created to teach your kids remotely and as well as work remotely so you can spend more time as a family. Ultimately, that's why we're doing what we're doing, is to A, give them a better education, but also spend more time together and have a bigger influence in their life, right? So I hope that this podcast was for you thought-provoking and really gave you a little bit of more information or insights into what homeschool could look like for you and what the future of education looks like. All right. So join us on the next Dadpreneur podcast as we continue to explore topics that celebrate both parenthood and entrepreneurship. Until then, keep learning, keep growing, and inspiring the next generation of learners.